I'm going to say a quick prayer before I dive into this. Holy God, we are gathered here in your name. We love you. We worship you. We trust you. And we welcome your presence here with us. Thank you for the time of worship. And Lord, as we turn to your word, please just pray again, Lord, that you would just fill this place with your presence. Open up our ears. Open up my ears, Lord, to hear afresh what you say in these words of Holy Scripture. And Lord, transform us. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've met some of you before, but I was an associate pastor at a church in Corvallis for 14 years, and before the Lord led me into a nonprofit ministry where I can focus directly on helping strengthen marriages and family relationships and address mental health issues. The Lord led me into a marriage and family therapy training program at a seminary up in Portland before moving me into a pastoral role, which was very helpful, as you might imagine, in all of life that comes at us from so many angles, so many challenges. It was a really helpful background, and the Lord just used those years in ministry to just soften my heart more and more and tune in, I think. It's an ongoing process, isn't it? But tuning into the Lord's voice and leading. So Friends of the Family Ministries, there's a little green and blue thing on the community board back there that's from Friends of the Family. If you're ever interested in learning more about that, I'd be happy to tell you more about it after the service. But I'm going to be looking in John chapter 20 here with you guys. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to John 20. And so to set the scene here, this is after Jesus' resurrection. And I went back to some of your YouTube services, and it sounds like you just went through the Gospel of Matthew with Pastor Scott. So this will be very familiar territory, right? The Gospels. But Jesus was just resurrected, and earlier in the chapter, Peter and John ran to the tomb, found it empty. And it says in verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So they had just seen all this happen, right? And they saw an empty tomb, and it still didn't understand. I feel like that sometimes. Like, Lord, I understand, but I don't understand. I believe, help me in my own belief, right? The centurion said to Jesus. But starting in 19 is when Jesus appears to the disciples. I'm just going to read this little section of like five verses, 19 through 23. I'm reading in the NIV. Is that what you guys typically use here? Wherever? Okay. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. So we're going to unpack this a little bit. In light of Father's Day, actually, as well as in light of just growing in being Christ-like ourselves, regardless if we're fathers or not. I've heard it said, the greatest gift a father can give to his child is his presence. There's something to that, I think. I've heard it said a little different. The greatest gift is for a father to love the children's mother and to pour into the marriage, even, right? But none of that can happen without being present. So as I was thinking about this whole situation that we're in the scripture here, I kind of started seeing this as an example of a father's presence with his children, the disciples. And I was like, hang on, but this is Jesus. But listen to, I'm going to jump around. I just have a few passages that I landed on that kind of helped me feel like, no, this is solid. So remember in Matthew 1:23, that's where it was announced, Isaiah 7 actually originally said this, but the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, right? Which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Paul says in Colossians 2, For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So the fullness of God the Father was in Jesus, right? Is in Jesus, was while he was on earth. And even Jesus said of himself, anyone who sees me sees the Father. Okay, so we can look at this little passage of this example of Jesus ministering to his disciples as God, the Father's presence with the people, right? So this is a challenge to all of us fathers, whether our kids are teenagers or if they're full-grown adults and wherever they are, right? We can still receive these words of challenge and encouragement from Jesus, from his example, to challenge us to grow as fathers. But it's also a challenge to all disciples. Earlier in John 14:12, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So even non-fathers can look to this story of what Jesus did and like, okay, Lord, how can I grow to become more like you? How can I reflect a father's presence with my family, with the people around me, people at work, people at school, people, neighbors in the church, in the community? We are called to reflect God's love, right? And Jesus is the perfect example of God's love. So to step back and think about the scene again, the disciples, so they had just abandoned Jesus when he was crucified, right? They all, and as predicted, Peter even like specifically denied three times that he knew anything about Jesus, knew him at all. Imagine, so I referenced that they still did not understand from Scripture, even when they saw the empty tomb. So there's all this confusion that they were experiencing, heightened emotion, unrest, uncertainty, worry, anxiety. What's really going to... Are Jewish leaders really going to, like, if they do that to Jesus, what might they do to us? Unrest. Brokenness. Probably, I'm imagining, they're broken. Because they're like, oh my gosh, if Jesus actually did, the tomb is empty. If he actually did get resurrected, and I just abandoned him there. I mean, just imagine like the shame that they might be experiencing in this moment in our story. And Jesus steps in on the evening of that first day, verse 19 again, when the disciples were together with the doors locked because of fear. Do you ever like pull back and almost hide, not engage with the world because of some fear that you're experiencing? Like just like fear of failure, fear of danger, fear of, I don't know, what other fears get stirred in us as humans? Like these are the human condition is prone to fear. These guys locked the door out of fear. And then Jesus just appears. Jesus came and stood among them. It doesn't explain how he got through a locked door, right? Then he says this, "Peace be with you." So I'm thinking about a father's presence brings peace. Jesus spoke it in this space, but have you ever been? You remember, of course, our human earthly fathers. There's all kinds of different examples of human fathers. That some that fall short and even make it harder for us to imagine what a loving heavenly father, how that could even be, because we didn't experience that in our earthly fathers. But can you imagine like a child, there's a thunderstorm maybe happening at night, and as the child's just terrified from out of fear, like what's loud, booming, and the father or the mother comes into the room. It's like, okay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just the father's presence, a mother's presence, can have that effect on us. And that's exactly what happened here. Like, inner turmoil, emotional heightened state for the disciples, confusion, uncertainty. He just speaks peace. And they see his scars. Like, okay, wow. I wonder if in that moment, it doesn't say, and then they understood. Like it said that they didn't understand still earlier, right? It doesn't specifically say that, but it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine that moment? You're like, oh, wow. All those things that he was teaching us and said to us about having to leave and come back and like, oh my gosh, it's all true. I was believing it was true before, and I was hoping it was true, but there was an empty tomb, and they crucified him, and like, but Jesus, peace be with you. Wow. That must have been amazing. Amazing. So Jesus, in his supernaturalness, Son of God that he was, is, spoke peace, was peace with his presence. And I think God can use each of us, even if we have grandkids spread across the country. We can be that kind of source of peace, that assurance that it's like a confident assurance that God's been God for a long time. He's still on the throne. He's trustworthy. When we can walk into a room faith-filled, grounded in who we know God is, we can bring some of that peace in with us into a room, into a tense situation even. We can be this non-anxious presence in a space that just helps everybody, like, okay, it's going to be okay. God's peace comes through God's presence. The passage goes on to say, oh, no, well, it does go on to say something, but I wanted to share this. Earlier in John, Jesus had already said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this was 14:27, John 14:27. So probably just a few days earlier, he shared this with them. Maybe even a day earlier. Peace I leave you. And then, of course, they're right there, terrified again, right? As we can all so easily slip into. A little later in John 16:33, he says, I've told you all these things. Remember, there was like three or four, five chapters where Jesus is just pouring truth and love into his disciples. And he says, I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He knew it. All those troubles, whether just in the last 2.5 years with all the pandemic craziness, or just life in this world, we're going to have trouble. Jesus knew it. He knew that we were going to need a gift of his supernatural peace to see us through this troubled world. And he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Wow. praise God that he has overcome the world. And that Paul talks right in Philippians about this peace that goes beyond understanding, right? Like, we can be in circumstances that an outside person can be like, how in the world could you not be like all caught up in the moment? How could you be experiencing peace with all, and by God's grace, we can have that peace. There's another thing in this passage that jumped out at me was the next verse where he says in John 20:21, he says, again, the peace be with you. He says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Not only is Jesus giving the disciples his peace, he's giving them purpose. Divine purpose. In the moment, they were like so confused about what they're supposed to be doing. What this life means. What their role could be, should be in it. A father's presence, in this example, through Jesus, brings peace, and it brings just a clarity of purpose for our lives. It helps us, purpose helps us move from this place of fear. God's peace helps us move from fear to a place where we can be like, okay, this is what it's all about. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. From fear to purpose. And then, so God's commissioned us. Paul says, I love this section in Acts chapter 20, where he connects with the Ephesian leaders on his way passing through. 20:24, this is the New Living Translation. Paul says to them, you know what? My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And he goes on to say, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So a father's presence brings peace, brings purpose, and Paul expresses it like, actually, my life is actually worth nothing to me unless I'm using it to finish the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. I actually have that quote up on my wall above my desk. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What's God assigned you to do? I think the rest of that verse, I think applies to all of us, like it did to Paul. He says, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. We're all called to do that. Paul, that was like his central mission. But I leave off that last part on my wall, and I just remind myself, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Because I think each of us have a unique expression of God's purpose. If we're a plumber, then we can tell others the good news about the wonderful grace of God through our work as a plumber. Through just doing whatever our occupation is, doing it with excellence. Doing it as if we're doing it for the Lord. God has a specific purpose for each of us. Have you tuned in? For fathers, oh my gosh, we have a unique role, don't we, in our children's lives. Some of my greatest regrets, my greatest, it's an area where I think I'm especially susceptible to attacks from the Lord. Attacks from Satan. Is this relates to my role as a father. When I think of times when I reacted out of just my emotions of the moment, as opposed to responded as the father that I want to be, as the father I feel like God's called me to be, as the loving, patient father that is an example for me, Heavenly Father, when I failed to do that and just reacted in the moment, some of my biggest regrets as a parent. As a father, it's also just one of the most amazing blessings, opportunities, when there's a positive interaction where I just have a chance to just pour love and grace and truth into one of my kids, and see them receive it and understand God's love for them somehow through my interaction. So being a parent, like, this is this heavy thing, kind of, in many ways. Amazing blessing, amazing responsibility, amazing opportunity for good or ill, right? So as fathers, even if our kids are grown, my dad is, I think he's 83 right now. I have a good relationship with him. But it's funny to me how much weight his words hold for me still. Fortunately, I feel blessed that most of the words are positive, encouraging, challenging even, to help me keep growing, pointing out things, growth points, right? But it's I hear his voice ringing in my head more than I hear other voices. We still have opportunity to speak into our children's lives, regardless of if they've distanced themselves from us or we have a good relationship with them. We have opportunities that, when Spirit-led, we can speak love and truth and grace into our kids' lives. And of course, into anybody's lives. Okay. So, peace, purpose. There's actually one more P here that I need to speak to. And then I have a little story to share to end. He breathes the Holy Spirit onto these disciples in this place of just emotional turmoil. turmoil, that, right, where they are, where we've all been at different times, right? Jesus appears in their presence. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he breathes on them, and they all receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power. Back in Genesis, that's what God did to the dirt, right? He breathed on dirt. And gave life to Adam. So there's this breath, God's breath of life. God's breath in this story through Jesus of his empowering presence. God's empowering presence. Do you remember when, back in Matthew, Matthew chapter 3 was probably many months ago if you just march through Matthew, but Matthew 3:15, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That happens again on the Mount of Transfiguration, voice from heaven, right? "This is my Son, with him I'm well pleased. Listen to him," the voice says, right? God's, the Father's voice. I started thinking about this. I was like, those are powerful words. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." How often we all have opportunity to speak that life and that empowering, encouraging, those kinds of encouraging words into people we love. And I started to think about how often do I take advantage of that opportunity? When was the last time I told my sons and my daughter? I tell them I love them frequently, but I don't as often reassure them how pleased I am. And it doesn't have to make I can be pleased with relationship with them and see the good that's happening in their lives, even if they just made a poor decision. I started wondering how powerful each of our voices can be to someone who we love, who God's brought them into our lives either through bloodline or some relationship, the person lives next door, maybe even. Oh, who knows, right? Our words can breathe life and empower. How empowering is it when somebody really gives you a word of encouragement? Who values you enough to spend time hearing your story and takes the opportunity to speak life? Oh man, this is what Jesus did for these disciples right here. And it was all the peace, the purpose, the power, it was all kind of, it was all part of this package of Jesus' presence, God's presence, the Father's presence through Jesus in this moment. And we're all called to imitate Him in our lives here. So peace, purpose, power, all part of choosing to be present with the people in our lives that God brings into our lives. God's presence is always with us, right? But sometimes it's more, I've heard it referred to in Jewish writings and such, of the Shekinah glory, where it, like, especially manifest presence of God. And I think I have an experience that I just want to praise God for here. To give you an example, I'm actually, how's this? Maybe this is mostly just to give God glory. We'll see where it goes. I'm going to stand up, I think. My back. I had this amazing experience about 10 years ago. And Pastor Scott may have been in the room, actually, because this was a prayer gathering of a number of pastors throughout the valley over in Cannon Beach. And maybe you remember him going over there in February, I think it was. So the month of January that year was one of the most, I'm still not quite sure the best way to describe, the heaviness of uncertainty was debilitating for my wife and I, because we learned that the church where we'd been serving was going to have to make some staff changes to make room for an incoming lead pastor, which I was not interested in that role or didn't feel called to that. But what that meant was, they had to let me go after 14 years. And so I've been attending this church for my wife and I for 5 years before serving for 14. So we've been around almost 20 years. So the people making this decision were longtime friends, right? But they were faced with this, wow, we really feel like the Lord's leading us this direction, but we can't do this and keep Dave on staff. All kinds of feelings got stirred, as you might imagine. I felt like I was getting voted off the island, right? This was all coming into clarity for us the whole month of January. And it just, the more we thought about, wow, what does this really mean that at the end of this year, I got to move on? Like, it was, it was the, I'm not sure, I don't think I was, maybe I was depressed. But it was just like this responsibility to support my family was all a part of this, right? Like, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, this is, I thought this is what you called me to do, and how am I going to support our family? We have three kids. Anyway, heavy, just heavy. And I kept looking at, all right, the prayer summit's coming up. God's met me in some really powerful ways there before. I just got to make it to the prayer summit, and somehow everything's going to be okay. And I got there and was able to share some of what was going on with some people and got prayed over, and I felt lighter through these few days over there in Cannon Beach. But I woke up the morning that we were driving back to the valley, and every bit of that heaviness was back on my, just on weighing on my heart and my mind. So I was like, Lord, what the heck? I thought you were relieving this burden, right? And so we go, there's one last like prayer session before we all head back. And it's usually kind of this lighter, because everybody's already 1 foot back in the valley, right? In their heads, like all this. And somebody shared, hey, this has been a great time at the coast and fellowship with you guys and worshiping the Lord and connecting. And but I'm in a really discouraging place in my ministry. This other person was saying, like I could have been saying this myself. And nothing's changed. I'm going back to all the same stressors that I came here with, and it's really discouraging. And one of my friends who I'd shared some with, who's about 8 feet over here, kind of turned and looked at me. I wasn't looking at him, but I could just feel his gaze, right? Like, Dave, that's exactly. And so the facilitator said, well, I bet there's probably so many people who feel this way. So my roommate was over here, about ready to elbow me. I was okay. So fast forward a little bit here. There's about five or six of us that were invited to be prayed over in the middle of this circle. And it was one of the... It was one of the most, if not the most, powerful encounter with the living God that I've had in my life. I was at the end of my rope. I didn't have anything else. There was nowhere else to turn. I was standing there, I was sobbing. It was just, and it was kind of like what I picture from this story of Jesus appearing to the disciples. His peace washed over me. A clarity of purpose was revealed to me. The Holy Spirit power just enveloped me. And it didn't matter that nothing had changed back in the valley. Because Jesus' presence through his Holy Spirit with me right there. Made everything okay. Circumstances hadn't changed. This is what faith in the God who reveals himself in the Bible, how it can transform us, right? When we open up our hearts and our minds to the Father's presence through Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, we're transformed. We can live in the face of whatever trials and tribulations that this world throws at us. Jesus said, remember in 16:33, he's overcome the world. And trusting in him and trusting our life to him, oh my gosh, it changes everything, even though it might not change things, worldly things. So I thought of this story because I'm convinced that that experience that I had in Kenna Beach with the presence of God, where I sensed his peace and his purpose and his power all right there, I'm convinced that we not only are called to reflect that in the relationships that God allows us to have in this world, but that we actually can, it can happen. We're not just called to something that, like, well, good luck with that. God wants to empower us and meet us right there. Through his presence at work in us, we can shine that light to the world around us, right? So whether we're fathers or mothers or neither, God's presence is a transforming power that can bring peace, purpose, and his Holy Spirit power. And Lord Jesus, as we wrap up right here, I just thank you for this chance to be with these people. And God, I just pray that there's something in what I shared that you can use to stir in their hearts, to challenge them to shine your light just a little bit brighter, even today, this week, this year. Lord, you're in the business of transforming us, saving us, breathing life and empowering breath into us so that we can live in this very difficult world, this very troubled world, Lord. You know all about that. You've been God a long time. Would you please visit each one of us, even in this moment? Your presence. Flood us with your peace. Bring clarity of purpose to our hearts and minds. Empower us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We trust you. Have your way in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.